thank you for listening this far. I hope that your new year is full with fantastic books that both encourage you, entertain you, and edify your soul. Until next time, may your TBR be unending.
It's my turn, I think. Yes. Let me see. Okay, so so Wedding at Sea. I don't know if y'all have read Melissa Tagg, but Wedding at Sea was the third book in her Mirror Harbor series. It finished out the series. Absolutely loved it. It kind of tied up a mystery that we all had been wondering. We all, meaning the people that like devour her books, but it tied up a mystery going on. It centered around this found family. It was like a lady who kind of took in kids that didn't really have anybody, and so this was them as adults, and they all had their own issues, and each book was told from one sibling's point of view, and just so good. So yeah, Wedding at Sea was phenomenal. Alyssa, have you read her?
I have not. But yeah,
she's great.
I have heard good things about Melissa Tagg.
Yeah, so like she started out writing in her fictional town of Maple Valley, and that's one for 2024 that I'm still looking forward to. She hasn't announced a release date, but I'm assuming and hoping and desperately waiting for book three in her Maple Valley series. But this one was told in Maine, I guess. Yeah, Maine, I believe, on a farm. So it's kind of different for her. She normally writes in a setting in Iowa, but really good stuff.
That's very really cool. And I'm from the Midwest, so that appeals to me.
Yeah, she's great.
I love the found family thing. I did get somebody, I can't remember who it was. It was like, I had to read The Shadows Over. Okay.
It was me. I kept telling you.
It was you. You made me read The Shadows Over London series by Rosanna M. White this year. And I love the found family type trope. You know, I don't know if it's been instilled in me since Dee Henderson's O'Malley series, but it's like, I love that. I love.
Did you say Shadows Over England?
Yeah.
That's on my CR for next year. So
I have to do it. That and Codebreakers. It's all one series. It's all one series. You have to. Here I go. I'm like the.
Okay. Well, I told the little she needs to read book. Like, okay. So I read the middle book out of the Codebreaker series, but then I went back to the beginning and read The Shadows Over England. So now I have to read. Well, which I could reread Wings of Devotion because I love that one.
So good.
Yeah, well, because I discovered, not this year, but the year before, her in general, from her Scilly Island series, The Nature of a Lady, The Treasure, yes. An Heiress, Worthy of a Legend. Oh my word, where have I been? I have been under a rock. Oh my word. And there were treasure hunts, which... anybody who knows me knows I love treasure hunts. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hooked, and I have them. Again, the prioritization, just getting to them.
Yeah. I think that's going to be something. Yeah. It's like, it's great. I remember we talked about this last year, Alyssa, about how, you know, also not just thinking of new releases that are coming out in 2024, which is exciting, but also like, oh, you get to sometimes explore a whole new author's backlist. So that's definitely fun. Okay, I'm going to go for one that it's second in the duology. It was one of my favorites last year, but the duology is now complete. And I absolutely love it. Like, I loved it. I loved the first one. I'm like, this
is
fun.
One.
It is To Free the Stars by Janet Zielinski. Oh my goodness. So I was like almost nervous because I really loved The Brilliance of Stars, book one in the Jack and Ivy series. And I kind of was like at the end of it, I'm like, oh my goodness, what is she going to do to these characters? Because this is a two book series. And I was so nervous to start it. But once I started it, oh, no reason to be nervous. Like, she brought you into it and really deep themes. Absolutely, like if you are into secret society type stuff, parallel military, secret surveillance, behind the scenes of things like World War One, and I think it goes to the beginning of World War II. just so, it was such a cool historical action romance, and I loved it, absolutely loved it. And they had the characters work through, because they were like a married couple working through some really, really hard things. And yeah, some people will say, well, maybe that's not realistic. It's just like, no, but that was so entertaining. I was riveted and I loved it. It's just like one of those couples that they totally fight for each other with their own individual strengths. It's like, wasn't because he was the only strong one and she was weak and damsel in distress stuff. No, she was also strong, but they complemented each other in so many different ways. It was like, I love seeing this. And I don't know what she's going to write next. I have been like spying on her via Goodreads, and she was reading Revolutionary War era stuff. So I'm like, but don't know. She hasn't announced anything. I'm just spying.
Well, you are the reason I bought. Sorry, I was so excited. I was like guessing I might have talked over the title, but To Free the Stars and the Brilliance of Stars.
Yeah, so Brilliance of Stars is book one, To Free the Stars is book two.
And you're the reason I bought both of them, and they are on my TBR.
It's so good. It's like,
the reason they're on my TBR. Well, I remember you talking about them, and I was messaging them like, so, hey, tell me about this. What is this about? I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna go in and click want to read, add it to my list.
It's so funny because, like, I've read some of her I loved Songbird and the Spy, that she did some of her early indie work, and I really enjoyed, I loved The Socialite that she did. It was World War II, but so she has like action in some of them, but she did a few that were like, you know, different pacing. And then she like totally did it full throttle. The action and complexity of the secret society angle was just so cool. I loved it.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, I have one more. I mean, I have a million more, but I'm going to say I have one more.
Okay.
So, again, I've been living under a rock because I have not read the River of Time series by Lisa T. Bergeron yet. I'm getting lots of looks on Zoom. Us listeners, I'm getting some looks right now.
I haven't read it either, but I've collected the books because of, well, surprise, Nicole and Rebecca. I have them, but I have not read them either. So,
well, I'm going to Italy in March, so I'm going to be reading them. But I also, you know, I've kind of got an arc of Estuary, which released this year, which is like the continuing saga under a new publisher, Enclave. And I picked up Estuary without any knowledge of the series prior and was able to follow it and enjoy it. And I loved it. And I told Lisa, I was like, Lisa, I don't know if I can handle it if I have to wait for Riptide to release next year. I was like, I can't do it, but I have to. But Riptide comes out this spring, I believe. And I'm very excited because I'm going to Tuscany. And so I'm just going to walk in Tuscany and just picture all this stuff. I mean, fictional stuff, but all this fictional stuff happening around me. It's going to be great. And it's a, just so people know, it's a medieval series, but time travel too. So, and has much acclaim. So I'm very excited to read the original series and continue the Oceans of Time series, which is the new set of books with Riptide.
I know. It was really cool to see, like, Rebecca, because Rebecca and I were talking about that, because that is, like, one of her all-time favorite historical. And she was kind of, like, wondering, how is it going to be with, you know, different characters? Because I read the first 20 books. I know, I think there's a novella collection and then a fourth book. But, you know, you follow one, you're so invested into like that one character that she's like, how is it going to be with this? And then she like messaged me, she's like, it's amazing. And so that's like so cool to hear that she still carries on that love of it for her
family. Yeah, I love her stuff, and I'm excited to read what is many consider their favorites by her. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah. You're on, Kelly.
My turn. Yeah. Okay, so I'm wrapping up my recap, but I have a couple more on several more on my 2024. But 2023, the Pocket Pair, which leads into, because you know my obsession with Sheet Cake Texas, the Pocket Pair, and then we're supposed to be getting the Wild Card, which is Colin's story in 2024. And so I'm obsessed. I love the novella that she gave us. The name slips my mind. I didn't jot it down. But the Pocket Pair was it Val and what was his name?
Chevy.
Chevy and Val's story, which is hilarious. And I'm dying for Colin's story. Alyssa, I don't know if you've read Emma yet, but what's that?
It's Emma St. Clair, right?
Emma St. Clair, yes. I love her. That was like, I've loved everything she's like I've read by Emma, but I cut my teeth on her with her Sheet Cake series. And so that's always going to be my favorite. And I live in Texas. And so, which she does as well. And you can tell she lives in Texas because she gets the little weird Texas isms. And I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, you live here. But yeah, Pocket Pair, favorite of 2023. And then 2024, the Wild Card. I cannot wait because Colin's kind of the mysterious brother. You know, you get little pieces of him, and we got some of him in the novella, the novella with his awful girlfriend. And you're like, what are you doing with this girl? And so I cannot wait to see what she does with that.
Yeah, no, I love her. Her is like a go-to for rom-coms. Like, she just has a real knack. I've been waiting for not only Wild Card to continue the Sheet Cake series, but also, like, she has multiple series going on, and some of them she's co-writing with Jenny Proctor. Like, I laugh at me with this title, but Sadie and the Bad Boy Billionaire, with the rest of that island, I am dying for that one because I have been building my anticipation for two books now for the enemies to lovers to get there. And I'm like, I know she's taking a side thing, which I don't know about the Groom of One's Own, continuing the hockey team that she introduced in her fall series, in that fall, what's it called? The Cozy Fall. I don't remember the name of the series, but
it was something cozy. Well, it was not Sweater Weather, but something kind of like that. It was a playoff of Sweater Weather.
Yeah,
that.
You must be dying to wait for the enemies to lovers to get there.
Yeah,
and well, like, what do you say? This is the third book.
It's a third book. So we've both read book one, two, but in the background, these characters have been antagonize each other the whole time, and I'm just
you're so excited.
The thing is, it's like, I understand, like, she's a very different indie author. She'll start a series but then sometimes come in with another series. Like, she writes a lot. Like, she's a very prolific writer and really good, but also she's like really paying attention to like trends and everything. So, you know, she's producing more hockey romances, but I'm kind of like, but I want that billionaire one because he's going to be put.
Oh, I am. I'm excited about the happy. I knew you were going to put it on there, but like the Appy's hockey one too. I knew you were going to mention the third, but is it Oak Island, Oaken Island? What is the name of the series? I know what you're talking about. It's the one that's right after Merritt and her childhood crush, which I love that one too, but there you go. Yeah. That one is on my list as well. So yeah, she's great.
Yeah. Okay, so I have actually a couple more. I'm gonna go.
Well, I can come up with more. So let me throw in a couple short ones there.
I have plenty.
This might turn into three podcasts, but that's okay. I have to mention Misty Beller because Misty M. Beller from Bethany House, because I met her at Mississippi River Readers Retreat. And she was talking about her books, and I was like, where have I been? Again, I'm living under a rock. I have discovered some great, I love the, you know, snowed in, you know, rugged, Western, you know, frontier-ish books. Why haven't we read Misty before now? Because I read Rocky Mountain Rendezvous and Rocky Mountain Promise, and I bought like a lot of them, and so I'm gonna read those because I love her stuff. It's like, if you love Karen Whitmire, if you love Mary Keneally, you will love Misty Ann Beller. Wow. So I loved it and I will continue to love it.
So great.
She came up on my Goodreads. She came up on my Goodreads, Melissa Misty Beller, and I started reading the descriptions because I too love, whether it's historical or contemporary, kind of the Western rugged kind of outdoorsy type story. And I saw her come up. I'm like, where have I been living? Like, who is this person? And then I discovered she has all these books. And so I recently added a couple of hers to my Goodreads list.
At least I'm not the only one. Yeah, at least I'm not the only one, because I read it and I was like on cloud nine and five star galore. I was like, and then I just immediately just picked up the next one and I was like, it's so good. And so I have more to read by her. And yeah, if you love that kind of story, you're going to love it.
Good to know.
Good. So I discovered another author this year. She's a fantasy author, which I've been like dipping my toes into fantasy every once in a while. I found a couple cool ones last year that I'm like, okay, I think that there's some, you know, clean romanticy that I can actually get into. This one though, I had been following her for a while on Instagram, and I really wanted to read this standalone because I know she has like a 4 or 5 book series, but I'm like, oh, I don't want to commit that much right now. I want something fast that I can just read from beginning to end really quick. And so I picked up The Starlet Prince in the afternoon one day, and I stayed up, it must have been until 2 o'clock in the morning, which I do not do. I am not a night owl, but it was like Friday night. I'm like, I don't need to be doing anything Saturday morning too early. I'm going to read, like, I was so sucked in completely. It's like a parallel world with like Fae, Beauty and the Beast type retelling with a Spanish flair. I was completely hooked, line and sinker. Like, I could not put the book down.
That sounds so good.
It was so good. And I'm kind of like, because I've been seeing her drop teasers for a while, and then it was available on Kindle Unlimited, and I'm like, I'm gonna try her because I've heard so many good things about her. It's very clean. It does have like a magic world with like fae parallel universes and stuff like that, but I feel like it's fantasy. And but there were so many things that I really like, the tension and the characters that she had through it. She just had you like with their inner conflicts and warring conflicts, totally like flipping the pages, because you were like, when is so-and-so going to find out this? How are they going to deal with this? How is this all going to be resolved? And it had like a ticking clock on it as well. And there were like some lines, because there's like, if you're on Instagram for any amount of time, you learn about Fae and about how they like live longer and all this stuff depending on the world. But there were quotes in it that I thought were so deep about how, you know, so many times I feel like in fantasy they're like, oh, I would love to be this magical creature or that magical creature, and it kind of is like being a human is boring type feeling. But in this one, it actually has these people who can live for like centuries or whatever look, and they're looking at humans who have shorter lifespans, and they're like, how on earth why do you struggle so hard to do that? Like, a part of the beauty of what we put into art and the sacrifice that we're doing, like, it means a lot to sacrifice for somebody who has a relatively short time period because we don't have a lot of time to give. And I love the way they like describe sacrifice and love as an act of sacrifice. It was just some really cool themes all tied into a really unique Beauty and the Beast trope. So if that sounds like something that you'd like definitely give her a try. I cannot wait. I think her next book is coming out again in like later in the year. She hasn't even announced it yet, but she's really good. So
What was the author's name, Nicole? I can't remember what you said. I remember you talking about them. Who was the author?
It's initials. It's CFE Black.
Okay. Okay. I remember you talking about it. It sounds cool.
Oh,
yeah, it does.
Really cool. Yeah. Yeah. And it was like, I was like, oh, I want a fantasy that just, you know, really takes you away. And then I love like Mask of Zorro. I live in Southern California. So we have like a lot of that Spanish influence culture. And to see like the fantasy with like, because you usually see fantasy with kind of a medieval England bent, but this Spanish influence was like a really cool cultural twist that I really liked. So. All right, somebody else go. Something else, because I have a couple more.
Go ahead, Alyssa. I think it's your turn next.
Oh, well, Mimi Matthews always delivers. She's clean romance. She always delivers. I read several by her this year. They were all excellent. Appointment in Bath, which I read before I went to Bath. Bath, as they say in England. And then the Return to Satterthwaite Court. Those two were both continuation of The Work of Art and Gentleman Jim. And both of those are like my favorite ones of hers. They were great. She also wrote Lily of Ludgate Hill, which releases next month, but I've already read it. So I know Nicole has too. And that one is the third in her Bells of London series, and that's been really good too. That was really good. So, you know, she always delivers. I read some of her, I think I read a backlist or two of hers this year too. So, and I look forward to continuing with that backlist as well. So
what I so love about hers is she puts like, it's like Victorian age and stuff like that, but she makes the tension feel so, like, her writing is so tight. It's not bogged down by a lot of description or anything like that. Like, you feel so in the moment with her characters. And it's like, and even with, like, the dilemma in Lily of Ludgate Hall, it's kind of like, how are they kind of going to resolve this? And I feel like she was really different with the hero in that one. I feel like he was pretty unique for some of her type of heroes, but she did him so well. And it's like, yeah, he had his own struggles that he was coming out that nobody else really saw. And I loved seeing both of those characters like grow through what they did. And then it was like a second chance too. So it was like a lot of really unique factors that I really liked.
And it was funny. It wasn't just depth. It was also funny and entertaining and lots of good romance. And it was just a really good story.
Oh, and it was like, and it was also like the bickering. Okay. And then me with the bickering between those two, that like they really
banter.
That was the right word. So I had also another one. Oh, wait, Kelly's turn.
Okay, I have a few, but these are all 2024 ones that I'm looking forward to.
Okay.
Do you want me to do them one by one, Nicole, or do you want, how many do you have left? Or do you want me to do one and then?
Okay. I'm going to do, go ahead and start doing the ones that you're looking forward to.
Okay, well, I'm sure that we both have this on our list because we were just discussing this today, but one last shot. All of the Alaska Air One, when the upcoming Susan May Warren. I can't. I sound ridiculous, but I can't. I cannot wait for it. I'm dying. Series that we've recently learned. I guess it's a 4-book series. We can say that. And it's all coming out in 2024, which is so exciting. But it's her Alaska Air One series. So her upcoming releases. And the first book is One Last Shot. And I'm dying now that I've read the description. So, yeah.
Yes. Did we get a 5-book series here? Do we want another whole series? Absolutely. Like, you're so and like reading some of them, what these are going to be about, the synopsis is, it's like, oh my goodness. You know, again, it's like, it's going to deliver.
Yeah.
crazy.
So much speculation. That's what I love. There's so many authors that I absolutely adore. And there are other authors like Susan, but I think that's one thing that's just so fun about following Susan's stories is they're so intricately woven. And you never know when someone's going to pop up. And it's always done in a very authentic way. It never feels like, oh, okay, they just forced this in. It's all done so seamlessly. Almost yeah. so seamlessly that you don't even notice. Like you and I were going back today, you were like searching through your Kindle for code words, you know, and I was doing the same thing. Like, okay, wait, she did mention this guy like two series ago. Wait a minute, hold on. So yeah, it's great. I cannot wait.
Attention to her side characters because they'll be important. And yeah. that's a little thing. It's like a lot of Easter eggs, a lot of inner, like every one of her series is. And so when people say, where should you start? And it's like, oh my goodness.
That is a loaded question. My sister-in-law, Rachel, I got her hooked on Susan May Warren and that question came up. She's like, oh, okay, well, where should I start? And I'm like, okay, here you go. Start here, but you got to go back here. And then you're going to want to go here and here and here. It's insane.
Well, I was thinking about it. It's like, is she almost at, I'm so annoyed with Goodreads. They used to have that list about your most read authors and have the books. But I feel like, isn't she close to like 50 books? It's got to be 50 books now.
For her have written 50 books?
It's got to be.
Oh, she's written like, it's way more than that. In fact, I think on one of her earlier releases, the back where it talks about the author, I think it was like 70 or 80 books that she had written. I know for sure she's my most owned and most read author within the Christian fiction world. Like I have shelves dedicated to her when I'm not in the process of building a house. But I don't even know how many books I have of hers, but she's written so many of them. And some of them aren't even in paperback. So the ones on the shelf don't even reflect like what she's written. So yeah, she's another one.
Read like two. So if you could read like two of her books a week, read only her for a year. Like,
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah,
so pumped for that series because she's tying so many things that she's strung along for multiple years. It's like, want answers? Yeah, it's not like there's tons of cliffhangers. There's just little threads that she connects.
Things you can't ignore, things that bother you late into the night where you're like, but no, I have to know, but yeah, okay.
I love it.
Good. I also have an author that recommended to me and is actually the reason I got Kindle Unlimited to read the first
book. Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Nicole Vann.
Yes.
Oh, goodness. So Alyssa got me, she goes like, you have to read Suffering the Scot. And I'm like, I'm not that into Regency. And she like convinced me. And I'm like, oh my goodness, Nicole Vann writes Regency in a way that like the dialogue and I told Alyssa this, I'm like, it almost feels like contemporary or rom-com level pacing with her dialogue. And it's so good that it's like it totally sucked me in. Like regardless of what genre you usually like, try Nicole Vann. This year I read a few. I finished up the Brotherhood of the Black Tartan series. Those are good. And I've read two others in her Pen Leaf series, but the one I'm going to talk about was Adjacent But Only Just, because oh my goodness, that girl was probably my favorite Nicole Vann hero to date. He was so unique for the Regency period. Like you get a lot of gentlemen and stuff like this, but he was a cattle farmer in Scotland. And I loved his like down to earth mannerisms, but also he just had just like this quiet strength, but also he was very much like just such a unique character, but also with such depth, and loved the interrelationship. And she just like so sucked me in. The heroine was definitely, you rooted for her, you rooted for them together. They got into like, also with Nicole Vann, she gives them predicaments and issues that are very believable, but not like super, oh, well, you should just do this and resolve it. Like, it takes a bit for them to work through their problems, but it still feels believable. It doesn't feel overdone. And I cannot wait for the next book in that one. It's called A Heart Sufficient. And that's coming out February 13th. So he was the kind of the hero in this one, was almost like the antagonist in book three. I think is it with Just One Kiss? And
I'm not sure.
Or it was something with a kiss. But he was like the antagonist, but I was like developing a crush halfway through the book already. I'm like, I want to know about this.
No, it's well written.
That usually does not happen with me. And I'm like, there's something else there. And she drops those little breadcrumbs that there's something else, something deeper. And cannot wait, because you've already seen the two characters that are going to be the two main characters. You've seen them already with their tension antagonizing each other. So, of course, there it is again. But yeah, looking forward to that one.
She's officially on my list because of you, Nicole, and because of Alyssa. I didn't know you were the source of her Nicole Van obsession, but now I want to read all of her stuff. And I kept adding all the books that she was telling me about on Goodreads.
So I finished Suffering with Scott when I was in Scotland. Long story short, I was stuck there, additional time for travel restrictions. And I finished the book, and then I went downstairs and got in a cab, and Laura France was in the cab because we were traveling together. And I was like telling Laura all about this. And I was like, "Woo, that hair was so swoony." And she was laughing at me. And then I think I messaged Nicole because at the time Nicole Van lived in Scotland, and I mentioned because all her stuff has some Scottish ties, and so I messaged Nicole, this Nicole, and was like, you have to read Nicole Van. I was like, you have to. And then she has beaten me to the punch and read way more of her stuff than I have.
I'm doing the audiobooks because, hello, like, the audiobooks have the accents, and that's
man. I love it. So
okay, so another, what about you? Do you have any more most anticipated, Kelly? Like, God,
I do have most anticipated. Alyssa, did I skip you? Do you have more? I'm sorry,
I do not have more. Okay. And here we go.
Just to mention,
when we started, I would have the most.
Hey, I'm surprised. I have three most anticipated. I don't know a ton about all of them. I haven't read, these aren't part of a series, so there's not a ton to discuss, but just worth mentioning. Danny Petrie's new series, I think the first book is One Wrong Move. Really looking forward to that one because I've always been a fan of Danny Petrie. I think you and I were talking about that one, Nicole. Her new one set in Arizona, right? The new series set in Arizona, I think it was. I think I lost you. What was that?
New Mexico.
New Mexico. There you go. I knew it was somewhere over there, you know. But yeah, looking forward to that one. And I am really looking forward to Of Love and Treason by Jamie Ogle. She's a debut author. I met her over Bookstagram so many years ago, and I've gotten to see her journey before she had an agent. I got to see her get her book deal with Bethany House. But Of Love and Treason is a kind of centered around St. Valentine. And so it's kind of a historical story. So I'm really looking forward to that one.
And that story is so good. Like,
I'm on the launch team, or like the for Just no. Read Tours. I signed up, but I haven't read it yet. So I'm really...
I mean the story of St. Valentine.
Like, oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I was like, man, you read it already? That's amazing.
No, the history of the story of St. Valentine is so good. So now I'm adding that one to my TBR because, let's just say there was an Adventures in Odyssey episode that taught me the story of St. Valentine when I was a small child. And now I just love the true meaning of the history of the day. And so now I'm adding that to my TBR. What was the name of it? One more time.
Okay. Of Love and Treason. And the author is Jamie Ogle, O-G-L-E. And she's such a lovely person. Like I said, we befriended each other so many years ago when I first started my bookstagram, and she's just so fun to follow. But I feel like it's personal because I've seen her whole journey before she ever, you know, had a book contract and all those things. So cannot wait for that one.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And then
for
I have
that.
I've
come across her before. She seems really, really sweet. So I'm adding that onto my list now.
And then I guess I'll wrap up mine, Nicole. My last one, I just wanted to mention it because I've always loved her books, is Amanda Dyke's upcoming, The Bourne of Gilded Mountains. It's set in Colorado, I believe, which is different for her. I don't know a ton about it, but the blurb was pretty interesting. So I guess that wraps up my most anticipated of 2024 for now. We'll see what else the year brings.
Because I'd like to do some quarterly updates, because especially with indie authors, well, when we do these, it's like, wow, we only know some stuff maybe up until like maybe June. There's so much more. So I absolutely loved Havoc This Year by Ronnie Kendig. She's beginning her Breed Apart.
I'm so glad you mentioned it, because I was like, Nicole's going to. I'm not going to, because Nicole's going to. Yeah, amazing. So good.
It's almost one, like, I read it as an early copy, but I bought my own copy because I'm like, I'm rereading this baby. It is so, it has all the action, the romance, the dog, the great characters, action and romance. You know, it's like, it's so much fun. The banter between the two characters is like...
Animal lovers rejoice, because she said action. She was like, action, romance, the dog.
It's so well done. It's so well done. I love
dogs.
Nicole, you read it before
Ronnie Kendig now.
It's
so good.
Makes it is like, people say, oh, it's a dog book, it's going to be cheesy. Oh, no. That dog is a character. Book would not be the same without the dog, and I'm really excited because they're doing the Sunrise series with the military working dogs. I'm really excited for Riot. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Writing with JJ Sammy Miles is her name. That's coming out March
19th.
Yes. And then because we don't really know what it is, but Ronnie Kendig is also releasing kind of like a long novella, she says. And it's, I'm going to butcher this name, Lady of Basculacus, May 24th. Don't quote me on how to pronounce that. But
you did better than I did. I saw it, but I was like, I don't even know how to pronounce this. You did better than I would have done, Nicole, in terms of pronunciation, because I saw that on her Instagram.
But so that's a topic. The Droserin Saga. It's a novella of people that show up in book two of that series, and I'm really excited because it's like, as soon as I finished War of Torment, I'm like, I'm pre-ordering that one, because I'm like, you're so invested in that world and that universe. I'm like, I need more of it, even if it's a little novella. But I'm also really excited for Morgan L. Bussey should be releasing.
Yes. Yes. I know what you're going to say. Yes.
Viking fantasy sometime this next year. And I'm here for it, because I absolutely adored Mark of the Raven. And she got me started on fantasy. And I'm like really curious to see what she would do with, like, Viking, because
that one's exciting, because it's one, it's Vikings and it's Enclave, and so you know the covers are going to be unbelievable. I mean, hello, they do amazing covers,
they
and it's
do.
Morgan L. Bussey. Plus the Vikings, they're gorgeous. Like they, whoever works for them as their cover designer is like so amazing.
Yeah, their cover art is always amazing.
I feel like they have at least three cover designers, if I'm not mistaken. I know there's okay. two, I think there might be three, I'm not sure. But yeah, it's like fantastic works of art that they do with the covers. And just such a variety of stuff that comes out of Enclave. Like, we'll announce something. I'm also looking forward to seeing what's going on with Kara Swanson. Because she's going to, I think it's another duology. So, looking forward to that. But anyway, anything else to add?
I think I'm all talked out. I think I'm all listed out, man.
Oh,
that was good.
I really thank you for talking with this. So exciting to look forward to all this stuff, all the books.
Yes, for sure. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. And then
thank you for having me, Nicole. It's so much fun.
Next time.
Welcome back to the Unending TBR podcast. It's Nicole, and I am joined in this part two of our year-end wrap-up and what we're looking forward to in 2024. I am joined with Alyssa from Bookstagram by Alyssa Morgan and Kelly from The Cozy Bookworm. Let's get to it.